Blog Talk Radio. We Fix Credit. Are you bound by medical bills, child support liens, evictions, late payments, repossession, bankruptcy, or student loans? Today, you can turn that around. Time to be no longer bound. Hi, my name is Dove Stanton, and the name of my credit restoration company is No Longer Bound Financial Services. We are a debt-free company with the means to help thousands of people restore and rebuild their credit. Our customers have been able to obtain their dream homes, dream cars, refinancing, and building a greater future for them and their families. We dispute all negative and erroneous items from all three major credit bureaus. In closing, we can help you restore your credit, which in turn will restore your financial future. The way to reach me is by telephone or text at 678-760-6056, or you can email me at the number 4, the letter U, betterdays@gmail.com. Time to be no longer bound. You gotta have faith.
All right. God bless you tonight. God bless you. Amen. Welcome here once again to Chaos Blog Talk Radio. We thank everyone for tuning in. This is Praise Tabernacle Church. This is our Tuesday night Bible study. Amen. And we're so glad to have you tuned in. To all our Praise Tabernacle members, family, and friends, thank you so much, amen, for joining us on tonight for another great Bible study led by one of our great leaders. Amen. And we're so honored and grateful to God for this opportunity. We've been in church for the last few nights. Last night we had such a marvelous time. I don't know how many of you actually get the opportunity to listen on Monday nights to the D&K Bible program by Elder Oliver and his wife. They do such a great, awesome job on Monday nights. Amen. And last night, my God, they had such a awesome time. They had another young lady on with them and was talking about church hurt and just had such a wonderful discussion, wonderful scriptures. Amen. And we just trying to pick up on that on tonight. I tell you what, I'm so excited about what God is doing. Even in this pandemic, we're reaching so many more souls, and we are grateful to God that his word has not been closed down. There are no limits to his word, and we're just so thankful. Amen. So thank you again for coming in on tonight. I think we have with us on tonight, I think we have Evangelist Stanton. She's on. Elder Taylor, he's on. He's going to be leading us tonight. I don't know if my wife is on yet, Elder Bluette. He may be chiming in. They're just returning from out of town. Elder Oliver is on, of course. I don't know if he's going to be staying. He talked so much. He got so busy last night. I don't know if he left anything for today. So we're just grateful. We're not going to prolong the time. We're going to say a quick prayer. And the next voice you hear will be that of Elder Richard Lee Taylor. He's the president, as we often say, of our Elders Council. Amen. And we're just so grateful to have him on our leadership team. Fathers, in Jesus' name, we thank you again for this Tuesday night Bible study. And God, we pray now that you would touch the message and the messenger. We know that it will accomplish every need that needs to be met. We're going to find it in the word on tonight. I pray that everyone that's tuned in tonight will receive a word from you, a word of deliverance, a word of healing, a word that will bring forth comfort. And we just thank you. And God, we thank you for everything that you're doing, everything that you're going to do, and everything that you've already done. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Elder Taylor.
All right. Thank you, Pastor. I appreciate that. Again, I'd like to thank everybody for this opportunity to come before you. Everybody that's listening tonight, I thank God for you. And again, as Pastor said, I hope you get a word from the Lord and a word that is a healing word, a deliverance word, a word that can bring some wisdom and knowledge to your soul and to your heart and mind. And tonight, we want to talk about, I really couldn't come up with a specific title for the Bible study tonight, but I'm just going to say that we're going to talk about the Lord when he confirms the covenant. When he confirms the covenant. And you'd be like, well, the Lord confirmed a lot of covenants in the Bible. Well, we want to talk about one specific one tonight, and that's the covenant that he confirmed with Solomon. And just to give you a little backdrop, then I'm going to give you the scriptures. The Lord confirmed the covenant. This was a period of time where Solomon had built a tabernacle for the glory of the Lord to abide in. And the people had been on a feast. They had been fasting. They had been sacrificing earlier in the first part of this chapter that we're going to go into. And they've been seeking the Lord, and the Lord appeared unto them. The Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of God appeared unto them. And when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord upon the house, they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground and the pavement and worshiped and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. So that's what we want to talk about. And where we're going to go tonight is where God begins to answer a prayer. And he appears to Solomon at night. And what I want to dig into tonight is where what the church is not doing right now as a whole. There's a remnant that's still doing it, but there's a lot of things that's going on throughout the body of Christ that I don't believe God would be pleased with based on the scripture. So if you got your Bible or your tablets or whatever you have, we want to go over to 2 Chronicles, the 7th chapter. And again, this is something that, and see, and what God did, just to give you a little more backdrop on the story, what God was doing was he appeared to Solomon and was telling him, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that, and I'm going to do this. But then I need you to do this, and I need the people to do this, and I need the people to do that. And what's going on in the church today is that, you know, we got so many people throughout the church age or people that say they love God and that they love Jesus, but nobody is living the life. Nobody is doing the things that they say that they would do. A lot of people, not everybody, don't take me wrong here, is that it's not everybody. It's a remnant that still loves the Lord. It's a remnant that still want to live right. It's a remnant that still want to live holy. It's a remnant of people throughout the world, throughout the body of Christ, that still wants to do the right thing and live the right way and practice what they preach. But then there's a remnant there's a group, collective body of believers in the church that have given the power away to the world. So therefore, they don't look any different. They don't act any different. But they'll go to
church.
Come
on, preacher.
Okay. Let's get this. You're going to see where I'm going. You're going to see what I mean when I say that. They don't look any different. They don't act any different than what the – so that's why the world don't have no respect for the church, because they can't tell a difference between them and the world and what's going on in the church. What they
yes,
see
sir.
In the world and what they see in the church. Because
yeah.
the church is operating, because the church is beginning to, the church is condoning what the world is doing. And it's like the church is saying, if we can't beat them, we might as well join them. That's what it looks like, you know. And it's like, well, you know, because I saw the other night where I saw I was watching BET or was passing the TV and Andy Best was doing a promo, and they were talking about having the LGBT, whatever the alphabet is, person on the show because God is love.
Come on.
I was like, what? What is that? How is that? How is this happening? And this is supposed to be a Christian show. But they don't act. See, we as saints of God, we're supposed to be different. We're supposed to be set apart.
Yeah.
We're supposed to be sanctified. And there has to be a difference between us and the church. We don't have to look like the world. We don't have to talk like the world. We don't have to sing like the world. We don't have to do the things that the world does. So the scripture says we are in this world, but not of this world.
Come on, preacher.
So let's get into the scripture. 2 Chronicles 7 chapter, starting at verse 12. And the Lord appeared unto Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer. Now, this is the second time he done heard Solomon's prayer, okay? And have chosen this place, the tabernacle, myself for a house of sacrifice. Verse 13. And if I shut up heaven and there be no more rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, what is God saying here? What is he saying? He said he promised to answer the prayers of the people that should any time be made at that place. National judgments are supposed. Famine and pestilence, or perhaps war, for the locusts devouring the land, meant enemies as greedy locusts are laying all waste. Amen? So, this is what he's saying to Solomon at night. Verse 14. If my people, okay, this is the net of the whole thing right here. Verse 14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. That's what I really want to get into. I want to get into that right there, is that if my people, God is saying, if my people, not the world, but his people, if my people that are called by my name, we got to humble ourselves, we got to pray, we got to seek the face of God, not the hand of God, but his face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. What is going on with our land today? And I believe God is going to make a move in the world as we live today. But I believe that he's trying to get people, he's trying to get the church to understand that we have to be different than what's going on. We have to look different. We have to talk different. We have to be sanctified. Because back in the old days, you know, because I grew up in the church. Father was a pastor. I grew up. Yeah, we made it look, you know, kind of weird. Some people talked about us. Cause, oh, they go to them holy rollers. They go to them church folks. But there was a respect for the church.
Right.
There was a difference between us and the world. They knew who the church people were. They knew, as they used
That's
to call
right.
it, the holy rollers.
That's right.
They identify us as being who we say we are. The world,
right.
Yes, sir.
We didn't call ourselves holy rollers, but the world knew.
Right.
The world understood
right.
what we stood for. You know, and you know, a lot of it was, you know, probably a little bondage in there too. You know, but we were committed. We were dedicated to God. We were committed to Jesus. We were sanctified. We were set apart from what was going on in the world. You know, oh, y'all can't do this, and y'all can't do that, and y'all can't go bowling, y'all can't, you know, do the things of the world. And that was true to a certain extent. There was identity that we had as a body of believers. You know, and whether you was a Church of God in Christ, an Apostolic Pentecostal, PAW, whatever the case was, there was an identity that we walked with, that we carried. The women looked a certain way, you know, and that must be a holy sister right there, or that must be a holy brother. Some of them was over the top, but still, you know, I can appreciate the difference. I can appreciate the fact that the world understood what we was about. And now all that's right. Just gone away. That's just gone away. You can't tell if you put somebody that say they love the Lord and put somebody that's going to hell on wheels next to them, half the time you can't tell them apart because they have the same conversation. They talk about the same stuff. They're doing the same thing. You know,
yes, sir.
So there's no difference. There's nothing for the world to respect. How are we going to draw people to God if we're doing the same stuff they doing? And they said, why would I want with you guys? You're doing the same thing I'm doing. How are you setting an example to me as a sinner? Because they know people in the world, they hear all the scandals that go on in these churches.
Right.
They understand all the scandals that go on in these churches. And they're looking at these scandals and see all these scandals that's going on all over the world. And they be like, well, what kind of God is that? Why do I want to serve a God that these people serve? And they can't even commit to this God to live right.
That's right.
And again, that's not everybody. Don't get me wrong. Don't get me twisted. That's not everybody. Because there is a remnant of God-fearing body of believers out here that love the Lord, that's willing to say I love the Lord, because people that know me know I love the Lord on my job. They know I'm a preacher. I ain't ashamed of it. I talk about it. There ain't no, you know, no doubt about it. You know, and if they don't cuss around me, they don't bring that kind of language around me, they don't got all that gossip and stuff, they don't do shit around me because they know what I stand for. And that's what we need. Not that I'm so good and so all of that, but it's just that they know what I stand for. And I'm not going to stand for, you know, the worldly stuff. And this is where I want to get to in that scripture, because Solomon, God was talking to Solomon. He said, I'm going to do this, but I need y'all to do that, and I need y'all to do that. And we're going to see what he means as we go through the scripture. Verse 15. All right, verse 15. Now, my eyes shall be open, my ears intent unto the prayers that is made in this place. What place? The tabernacle. He says, I'm going to listen. I'm going to be attentive to the prayers in this place. I'm going to hear you. I'm going to hear the people. I'm going to listen. And I'm going to be attentive to what you're asking and what your requests are. For now have I chosen and sanctified this house. Again, one definition of sanctification, sanctified is set apart. And basically he said, I have chosen and sanctified, set this house apart, that my name, God, the name of God, may be there forever, and my eyes and my heart shall be there perpetually. What does that mean, perpetually? All the time. Constant, moving, perpetual motion. This is what he's telling them. This is what he's telling Solomon. And again, I go back. He said, I'm going to do this for you. I'm going to attend. I'm going to be attentive to your prayers. I've chosen this house that my name shall be there forever. My eyes and my heart shall be there perpetually so I can see what's going on.
Right.
But again, I'm telling you, I'm going to do this, but it's going to get to a point where I'm going to need you to do stuff for me. So in verse 17, he says, and as for thee, if thou wilt walk before me, here we go, as David thy father walked, do accordingly to all that I have commanded thee, and shall observe my statutes and my judgment. You got to live the life. Because I'm going to do this for you, that for you, but I'm going to need you to do something too. And what did he tell him that he needs them to do? As for thee, if thou wilt walk before me as David thy father walked, and
there
do
you go.
According to all that I have commanded, do everything I tell you to do, I've commanded thee, and shall observe my statutes and my judgment. Would anybody like to add anything as we move on?
Hey, Elder, this is Blue Ash. What's your scripture? I've been trying to get in there to ask about it.
Second Chronicles 7 chapter, verses 12 through 22.
Okay,
we're going to take a quick break, and then we'll come right back and get right back into chapter verse 17.
All right.
Decided to join us tonight for our Tuesday night Bible study. And tonight we're getting a word from Elder Taylor out of 2 Chronicles chapter 7, around verse 12. And it's already hot in here. We thank and praise God for each and every one of you. We would like to give you the opportunity to be a blessing to the ministry. If you would like to give tonight, the only thing that we ask is that you don't give grudgingly or you don't give under compulsion. It can be as low as a dollar. If that's all that you have, it's okay. God sees that as a mighty blessing to the ministry just as much as he sees $1,000 as a blessing to the ministry. So whatever you're able to give out of your heart, feel free to give. There are two ways to give. One is by Cash App. Our Cash App is $PTC877. Once again, that is P as in praise, T as in tabernacle, C as in church, 877. Or you can give by credit card, debit card, or PayPal. Our office telephone number is 678-760-6056. Once again, that's 678-760-6056. And we thank you once again for joining us tonight, and we're going to turn it back over to Elder Taylor.
Amen. Thank you, Benjamin. I was thinking during the break, you know, God was setting standards for Solomon. He was setting things in place. And again,
right.
As I've been saying, God was, you know, I'm going to do these things for you. I'm going to be in the presence. I'm going to be in the tabernacle. I'm going to hear your prayers. I'm going to be attentive to what you said. But I need you, God. I need you and the people to be an example. I need you and the people to do what I've commanded you to do and to not go away from the things that I've commanded you to do. Because, you know, God promised to perpetuate Solomon's kingdom upon condition that he is preserved in his duty. You know, he told him, you know, you just got to be on point. You have to be the man, the king that I've called you to be. And that's why we have to have pastors after God's own heart. We have to have leaders in, after God's own heart. We have to have people in position that's leading God's people after his own heart that's going to be preserved in their duty. That's going to walk after God and speak the faith of God and do the things of God so that other people can follow. And I think this is what makes the church strong, you know, and then the sheep can beget sheep. And then we can follow each other and follow after our leadership and after our pastor and make the church strong. And what Solomon, God is telling Solomon, basically, I need you to be an example to the people as I sit. My presence in this tabernacle. I need you to be an example. When he came to him at night and spoke to him and said, I need this from you, Solomon. I need this from the people, you know. And he put, because he didn't come to all the people, he came to Solomon.
Right.
When Solomon was himself at night. And so that's
right.
The way we have to be as a believers and as leaders and as followers of Jesus Christ. You have to have the ear to hear, to hear what the Spirit is saying. And fortunately, Solomon had an ear to hear because he'd been praying previously in this chapter, and God came to him again. But see, God came before all the people in verse 3. He came before all the people. Now, in verse 12, he came just to Solomon. And so he's putting Solomon on the spot right now and to be a leader. And that's what we got to have. The church has to be an example to a dark and dying world. And I don't see that as a whole. Now, I'm not saying that no church is being an example, but as a whole, again, we have a remnant that really loves the Lord. We have a remnant. That remnant could be a big remnant or it could be a small remnant, but we have a remnant of people that really truly love the Lord. But the things that I'm seeing and hearing in the news and on TV and things of that nature is, you know, the church is really condoning and thinking they can live any kind of way and still make it in. You know, I coach youth football and you know, I'm the chaplain of our organization and the head coach. You know, he's a religious man. You know, I love him. I thank God for him. But you know religious people. And religious people think they can stay and live and do any kind of way and think they still going to make it in and not be held accountable. Like God is making Solomon accountable right now. To hold on to his statutes, to his commandments. And people can think that they can live and go to church on Easter and Christmas and whenever and Mother's Day and think they're going to make it in. And that's not going to happen. You think they can live like hell all through the other months of the year and think that when they die, they're going to heaven. You know?
Right.
And so what I like what God is doing here with Solomon, he's telling him, look, I need to put your feet to the fire. So we in verse 17. Let's go with verse 17 right into 18.
Elder, can I say something before you go farther?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, this is, man, you're doing a great teaching on tonight, and what came to mind when I was studying it was the exact same thing you just brought up about the heart and God giving us pastors and leaders after his own heart. And then I thought about when God told Solomon, if you follow me as your father David, as your father David did, then this is what I'm going to do for you. And I couldn't help but think about King David. He messed up. You know, you know, everybody knows the story, you know. And a lot of times, especially preachers, we kind of use David and we use him kind of in the wrong way to kind of make excuses for us doing stuff. But that's not what I'm talking about and what we're talking about on tonight. David was a man after God's own heart. And that was the whole thing.
Absolutely.
Even though, yes, he messed up, that was a one-time incident. We don't find where David kept on doing the same thing. We don't find where he kept killing folk or he kept you know, committing adultery. You know, some of these jokers been committing adultery for 30 years and still claim that they just like David. And we don't, you know,
right.
certain things you just can't keep. You can't keep doing the same
right.
thing and expect for God to just keep, you know, forgiving you. So he tells Solomon, if you follow me as like your father David. And what I think that's
mm-hmm.
Psalm, it might be Psalms 91, I'm not sure. It's in Psalm when David had to repent, and that's where the heart came mm-hmm. in. Just like you're
right.
touching tonight, if my people call by my name, humble themselves and pray, you know, David repented.
Right.
You know, David said, create
mm-hmm.
in me a clean heart, renew a right spirit within
right.
me, blot out my transgressions,
yes.
make me to hear joy and gladness. You know, and even though when Nathan came to him, he was like, whoever that man is, he shall surely be put to death. And Nathan told him, thou art the man. It's you, David, it's you. And once that was brought to his attention, he was put on the carpet. David fell out, you know, before God. And another thing that a lot of these preachers and pastors, they never talk about, even though they claim that they want to be like David. David went in sackcloth and ashes and went to fast and praying that God will allow the baby to live, and God would not do it. God still took the baby. Okay, so there's still, even when you sin, there has to be consequences. Okay, and God took the baby, even though David was a man after his own heart. David was the king, and you know, he was before the Lord, but God still allowed the baby, allowed that child that him and Bathsheba had, allowed him to die. Well, yeah, we know later on, if I'm not mistaken, Bathsheba ended up having, I don't want to get too far out there, but I'm just saying, yes, we may have some faults, or we may have some things, but we got to repent and not continue to do those things. We
right.
want to make sure that our hearts are right before God. So thank you, man. This
mm-hmm.
that really stirred me up tonight. Thank you so much for that.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's good.
And that just lets you know what kind of power the flesh has.
Right.
You know.
Right.
One incident. That fleshly thing he had, that one time, let the flesh, you know, overpower the Holy Spirit, the God in him, you know.
Right.
And that's what, as he was talking, that's what came to me, how you can let, if you ain't careful, this flesh will control you, will manipulate
Amen.
You, will make you walk illusionally and think and have you thinking and doing certain things, and you think you're right.
Amen.
Because David... And he, you know, we talked about Solomon, but we got on David a little bit. But, you know, he knew he was wrong. But then his son came from, you know, him being with
mm-hmm.
Solomon.
Right.
Came, you know.
Right.
And God is dealing with Solomon and letting him know that if you walk, verse 17, and as for thee, if thou walk before me, as David thy father walked, and do according to all that I have commanded thee, and shall observe my statutes and my judgment, his ordinances, everything that God is calling him to do. He's going, then, verse 18, then will I establish thy throne of thy kingdom according as I have covenanted with David thy father, saying, there shall not fail thee a man to be ruler in Israel. God said, I'm gonna be here. I'm gonna be attentive to you. I'm gonna be your God. I need you to do these things for me in order for me to establish you. And I believe that's where we got to be in the body of Christ.
Yes, sir.
God, I believe
yes,
God
sir.
Wants to do so much for us and do for us. You know, and it's a group. It's a, you know, like I keep going back to the remnant thing, where you know, it's some of just really fighting diligently to be separate, to be apart. You know, to be in this world but not of this world. You know, Romans 12 says, "Transform, be ye transformed, but by the renewing of your mind." You know, we trying to be different. You know, and I believe we can win people, we can win souls, but we ain't got to act like them to do it. Did Jesus act like the people that he was saving, that he was healing, or did he act like Jesus? You know, did he condone what they were doing when he walked the earth? No.
Come on, Dad.
If anything, he pissed more people off, you know,
right.
than, you know, and the words of Elder Bluette, he pissed them off.
Yeah.
You know, and he made them upset. He made them mad. He made the high priests and the Sadducees and the Pharisees,
right.
you know, the people of the Sanhedrin, he made them upset. He made them mad because he would not condone to what they were doing or even saying.
Right.
You know,
right.
but he did it in a way that he still drew people. He drew people to him. People still wanted to come to him. And that's what we got to be.
Amen.
And so God is wanting to do a lot of things for us, but are we in position to receive it?
Right.
You know,
right.
And I believe this is what God is trying to get Solomon, trying to make sure that he stays in position, because he knew these people had a knack for backslide. He knew that they could go back. God knew that. This is why he said what he's saying. Because he knew, I know these people will backslide on me in a minute. You know, that's what I'm saying. But in the scriptures, you know, you can read that what he's saying. Okay, you don't believe me? Okay, here we go. Let's go to verse 19.
That's good, Elder.
Verse 19 says, if ye turn away and forsake my statutes and my commandments, which I have set before you, and shall go and serve other gods and worship them, why would he say that if he didn't know they had a propensity to do that?
That's right.
Why would God even tell Solomon that? If y'all don't, I know what's happened in the past, you know, to paraphrase it, you know, but if you turn away, verse 19 again, and forsake my statutes and my commandments, which I have set before you, and shall go and serve other gods and worship them, verse 20, then will I pluck them up by the root out of my land, which I have given them, and this house, which I have sanctified for my name, will I cast out of my sight, and will make it to be a proverb and a byword among all nations. To be nothing. It says, though they have taken deep and root and taken up long and in this good land, yet will I pluck them up by the root, expirate the whole nation, pluck them up as men pluck up weeds out of their garden, which are thrown to the dumpster. God said, I will do away with everybody. And this is where we could be as a collective body of believers. If we don't line up.
Yes, sir.
If we don't line up, because being plucked out of the hands of God is the last place you want to be.
Right.
All right.
If we don't line up and do what God is telling us and needing us to do, we have to be separate. We have to be set apart. We cannot do and say everything that the world is doing. We cannot condone what the world is doing. You know, you look at these churches now, you got all of these gay churches, the pastor and the first man.
That's right.
The pastor and I don't know what they call
the first gentleman.
The lady, the first gentleman.
Yeah.
But I don't know what they call the lady, the lesbian lady, what they'll call her wife, you know, and people want to get married because now these demons is knowing that, okay, it's law now. It's law.
Yep.
And
yes,
now
sir.
You don't really have to fight to get, you don't really have to fight to get us up out of here.
Yep.
But if we seek the peace of God, humble ourselves, as it says over in 14, if my people that are called by my name will seek my face, will humble themselves and seek my face, then will I hear from heaven and heal their land. Are we doing that? Or is it just a few of us doing it? God said he's going to be in the tabernacle. He's going to hear us. He's going to be attentive to our prayers.
Right.
Are we sending the prayers? Are we even praying? Are we seeking the face of God? Are we trying to draw strength from the face of God so that we can fight against the principalities and wickedness and things in high places? Are we doing these things to help us fight?
Yes, sir.
Especially now. Now that we can't come together collectively as a body of believers, now it's even easier to get sidetracked. Now it's even easier to get pushed to the side or to get lazier and not do the things that you used to do when I knew I had to be at church on this day. On this day, we had Bible study,
right,
we had Sunday
right.
school, we had because, you know, right. there was a regiment that I was a part of, you know. Now I'm not a part of that. So it's easy for me to get
right.
sidetracked, lazy, don't do the things that I should be doing.
Yep.
You know,
right.
Not keeping the commandments of God, not keeping the statutes, not keeping the things that he required of me as a man of God. So it's so
yes,
easy
sir.
To do right now. So now it's more
hey,
important
hey,
than ever. Yeah.
Hey, Elder.
Go ahead, Elder Blewett.
Yeah, that verse, this is a great lesson, too, of how we are all maintaining or not maintaining what God has given us and what he represents to us, you know, as far as when we are around other people.
Mm-hmm.
And God knows our beginning and our ending. And it's funny
right.
that you mentioned that about Solomon, because verse 19, but if you turn away and forsake my statutes and my commandments, which I have set before you, and shall go and serve other gods and worship them. See, God just spoke about his ending. God just spoke about how he will be. Because, you know, Solomon had gotten
yeah.
over 700 wives. And
yeah,
he started catering
right.
and their gods.
Mm-hmm.
See how God put that
mm-hmm.
in there? But if he had repented like his father did, and like Pastor
mm-hmm.
was saying, if he had repented from his heart, found himself in that state of mind, I believe his
yes,
ending would have been different. But God knows the ending of each and every one of us. And he tells us on a daily basis how we ought to be.
Wow.
Because he knows what the end is going to be on all of us. But he nurtures us as we live. He nurtures us,
right.
talks to us, speaks to us. He shows us how we can change that ending by our will to obey him. If my
mm-hmm.
people, which are called by my name, so
right.
so you're right on point as far as some Christians are not portraying a Christian-like attitude and
yep.
walk and talk where people can't really point them out anymore as they used to or as many as they used to. We all
right.
have an expected end, and everybody's listening tonight. You have an expected end.
Yes,
you
sir.
Have an expected end. God knows that last day of your life. And this lesson right
wow.
here tonight, if you would just repent now.
That's it.
Repent
That's
before
it.
This broadcast is over with. This
right.
is very important. God is speaking to Solomon exactly what he's going to do in verse 19 of 2 Chronicles,
yeah.
chapter 7, verse 19. Exactly what Solomon is going to run into. So go ahead,
sure.
Elder. Great lesson, but from 19 in
wow.
the chapter is exactly what God is telling Solomon. He told him before he got to it.
Mm-hmm. Come on.
We have an expected end, yep. And God knows it.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Go ahead. Great lesson. Great lesson.
Wow.
All right. Well, I appreciate that. Great input, Elder Blue. A great input. And in verse, I believe we're in verse 21, we're almost done. And this house, meaning the temple, which is high, shall be an astonishment to everyone that passes by it, so that he shall say, why has the Lord done this unto this land and unto this house?
Yes.
And it shall be answered, because they forsook the Lord God, their father.
Come on, preacher.
Which brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, and laid hold on other gods, and worshiped them, and served them. Therefore has he brought all this evil upon them.
Wow.
What is a lot of the people of God doing today? Serving other gods, worshiping other gods, doing what the world is doing. And God, let me listen to that again, verse 22. And it shall be answered, because they forsook, who is they? The people.
That's it.
The Lord. They forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, and laid hold on other gods, and worshiped them, and served them. Therefore has he brought all this evil upon them. See, God knew that they had he knew that they could serve God at any time, or go back. Just like when they first came out of Egypt, and it was in the wilderness, Moses was up on Mount Sinai, and he was down there having a party and building gods and of gold and all that. He knew all of that. He knew that they could go back to doing that. But he wanted them to know that you can't do that. There has to be a standard set for the people of God. Is the standard high? Yeah, I would say, because the God we serve sets high. The God, our Lord and Savior, is the King of all kings. So I believe the standard is high for us. I believe the standard has to be above and beyond, so that anybody we have to be in a way that people will want what we got. Oh, man, it's something different about you, sis. What's something different about you, bro? Man, what's going on, man? I don't ever hear you get into any kind of stuff. What's going on with you? And that's a witnessing too. Oh, man, yeah, man. You know, I'm just a brother in the Lord. You know, I love Jesus. You know, I serve the Lord. And, you know, the peace of God is upon me. And I don't get rattled about little any and everything. And, you know, really? I knew it was something different about you, man. Because you ain't like everybody else. See, mm-hmm. When you hear stuff like that, I mean, for me, that means a lot. Because that means I'm on track doing what God wants me to do. And when somebody can come to you and be like, man, there's something different about you, man. You know, what's going on? You know, and it's a witnessing tool. It's a way to draw people to God with love and kindness. How I draw me. That's a way to get people to God. You know, be different.
That's right.
Because when you do and act like God, when you do and talk and withhold, and hold on to His statutes and His commandments and the things that He instructs us to do, we're going to be different. We're going to be peculiar people. We're going to be set apart. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. You have no choice but, and then people would notice that. And people will, and if it's done right, then you can draw people. You may not get everybody, but you'll get the ones that's designed for you to get for God.
Yep, that's right.
You know, when you set apart, when you're doing the things that you need to do, and so that's what I want us to think about and people that's listening tonight to think about, am I setting a day? Am I, you know, God said he's going to do his part. Am I doing my part?
Right. Am I doing my
God
part?
God said
he's going to
do his and now, God, I know he's doing his part. Now, can I say I'm doing my part?
Yep.
Can I honestly, can I ask yourself a question? Everybody that's listening tonight, ask yourself a question. Is God pleased with my walk with him?
That's good.
Is he pleased with my walk with him? And you know, I mean, it's basically a rhetorical question. Because you know what you're doing, you know what you're not doing. You know what your walk is about. Do I walk heavy in the things of God, or do I walk around here all lightfoot? You know?
Right.
Do I condone the things that I see that's going on in the world? Do I associate myself with the things of the world? You know, again, I go back, and I'm done. I go back to me being the chaplain for our Top Guns in Gwinnett County football organization, you know. And I pray with the team and stuff, and I told one of the coaches that I couldn't be on the meeting tonight because I was doing Bible study tonight. And the coach told me, he said, hey, man, can we do that for our team? I said, Bobby.
Listen there.
He said, I said, Bible study? He said, yeah. I said, yeah, we can.
Wow. Wow. Great. Great.
Yeah, we can. And I want us to keep praying for the team before practice, after practice, before games, after game, you know, because I never took back from what I said I was from the first time that they met me.
Yes, sir.
I stood on things that I believe and trust God with. And I never condoned with maybe some of the conversations other people was having that's around me. I'm in it, but I'm not of it.
Right.
I'm in it, but I'm not of it. You know, I don't carry the conversations that all these other coaches may be carrying on with each other. You know, me and my wife might be standing out talking while they talking. You know, so I try to be an example. Because they look around and they see that I ain't part of all of that.
Right.
So we have to set an example and continue to hold on to what God is telling us to hold on. Because I promise you, he's doing his part. And as he was telling Solomon, I'm a rest. Spirit is going to be in the tabernacle. My spirit is going to be with you. I'm going to hear what you're praying. I'm going to be attentive to what you're doing. But you have to do your part.
That's right.
You cannot go away. You cannot turn away from me. You cannot forsake my statutes. You cannot forsake my commandments. You cannot go and after other gods, serve other gods, and worship them. You can't do that. And that's what I believe is going on in the body of Christ now. More people are being turned away from God, or turning
right.
away from him, and forsaking all his statutes and his commandments. Pursuing after other gods of the world.
Yep.
And I believe that's happening. It's becoming more and more prevalent as time goes on. And we,
right.
the people that are standing firm on what we believe and what the Word says, and by the Holy Ghost holding firm, that we got to be the ones. Even if it ain't but two of us, we got to set the example.
That's right.
And I know it's more, way, way, thousands and thousands more than that. But I'm just saying, we have to set the example and the work that the world sees, you know. And just ask yourself, am I setting an example? Does God see my walk with him? And if he is, if you believe he is, good for you. But we are all a work in progress. We
Amen.
Will always be a work in progress because of this flesh. We will always be a working project. And so, with that, Pastor, I will adieu. I am done. You can take it over from here, sir.
I tell you what, man. That is, wow, that's great. good teaching. I know y'all have enjoyed that on tonight because I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it, so I know you enjoyed it. Lord, I tell you what, let us all begin to make the necessary changes that we can so that God is pleased with us. That was an old song that was written years ago, and it said, I think it was a choir song, "What if God is unhappy with our praise? What if he's not pleased the words we say?" And it keeps going, and it makes you just think about your life and living the right way. And I sat here and I thought about, as Elder Taylor was so teaching tonight about Solomon being the wisest man on earth outside of Jesus Christ. And Solomon and all his wisdom and all his knowledge throughout all that, him building the temple and all that, Jesus still had to come. He still had to come, and he came through David, came through Solomon. With Elder Taylor, what we was talking about earlier, Bathsheba was his mother, David was his father, Solomon was wise and all this, but Jesus still had to come. And being that Jesus still had to come, the way that they could not, or it was so hard for them to live right in the Old Testament, Jesus came to show us that it's possible that we can live right and do right. And then once Jesus left in the natural, he sent a comforter that'll teach and guide us. So we don't have any excuse. We don't have any excuse. And the thing about it, the Old Testament saints, they didn't have the scriptures to read about what was going on. Job didn't know all this was bound to happen. The New Testament saints could read what happened in the Old Testament. But we don't, you know, we have the opportunity to read and to study and to know the word, to review the word, and not just be a hearer, but be a doer of the word. So we're just grateful. Elder Taylor, man, that was a great teaching on tonight. Making me even, you know, I tell you what, let us all examine ourselves. Let us all examine ourselves. That God has promised and he's done some wonderful things in our lives. And how many times have we went back to doing, we can giggle at the children of Israel for the numerous times that God had brought them out, delivered them, and even getting to the Red Sea, they was complaining. But how many times have we done that? How many times have we done that? So I tell you what, another great Bible study here at Praise Tabernacle Church. Elder Taylor, thank you so much, man. Thank you. Thank you so much. Elder Bluett, thank you so much. Just getting back in town, thank you so much. Evangelist Stanton, she was on and had to leave. Thank you so much, Evangelist Stanton, for being a part on tonight. Amen. And we're just honored and grateful to God for what he's doing. And all right, I tell you what, meet us back here again on Friday night. Praise Tabernacle Church, meet us back here on Friday night with Bishop Omar Zachary and Family Ministries. And there is yet another word from the Lord. We're going to say our final prayer and benediction. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you again. We honor you. We glorify you. We thank you for your word on tonight. We pray that you will continue to bless the messenger, and we thank you for that anointed word on tonight. And as we leave this place, but never your presence, we pray that you will strengthen your people. Strengthen your people. Give us the mind to live right. Give us a mind to live a holy and sanctified life in this present age. And as always, Matthew 28, verse 19 through 20 tells us to go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. God bless you tonight.
It's like you're looking through a telescope.